Presented by the Esports Research Network and the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden.
Okay, welcome to the Esports Research Report. I'm Dr. Brian McCauley here at the Media Management and Transformation Center in the city of Trimac, Jönköping in Sweden. And today I have Jana Muglik and Lisa Vokel from the Equal Esports Initiative, a new program from Germany. So welcome to the show, Jana and Lisa. And please, I think we'll just start with the first question. So Jana, I'll hit you up first. What is your definition of esports?
Esports for me has much to do with competitive thinking, but also on the other hand with team play. And what I enjoy in esports is like meeting people, working together with them in different projects, and having some fun. And that's why I hope the community is coming more and more inclusive for all people that are interested in esports.
I love that you didn't even say video games in that, and I think that's probably one of my favorite definitions so far, because you're absolutely right. If you take video games, a lot of what you say is true. And Lisa, as one of the earliest members of the Esport Research Network, one of the people at the first meeting, what's your definition of esports?
I would kind of go with the definition I gave my grandma. So it's, for me, it's like playing video games competitively against each other. And it can be in teams or single people against each other, but just like the competitiveness of video games. But of course, everything Jana said before just is an addition. And is also part of it, but I always go with the kind of easiest definition I can get, and that is kind of playing video games competitively.
See, you're younger than me. I would have had to explain what video games were to my grandma. Okay, so I'm going to ask, we just had the first festival for the Equal Esports Initiative. So, Jana, what is the Equal Esports Initiative? Please tell us.
It's like an initiative, but it's more like an initiative. It's more like a program to support more women and also early the girls to come into esports, to lower the barriers that are there for women and girls, and to make esports a more inclusive place, and also to support female talents, like how they need to support it sometimes.
And how did it come about? Where does this come from? How did it all start?
So I can't say really where it starts, but I can kind of explain which or who is part of it.
Absolutely.
So the initiative is launched by the Deutsche Telekom, by SK Gaming, and by the Esports Player Foundation. And these are three really strong partners, and they kind of put their heads together and put work in, and they launched the initiative for more equality in the esports world.
I love that, these different stakeholders coming together.
Yeah.
And so just recently, as we're filming this, but it'll be a few weeks till we launch this episode. I mean, you just had your first, festival? What did you call it? So who can tell me about that? What happened at this festival? I think it was in Berlin, right?
It was in Berlin, and it was a really big festival. So I was there, and there were 3 days of full of esports, of talks, and it was really amazing to see what was put together in a really short amount of time. So on the first day, we had like pro players come over and kind of stand on the
stage.
Stand on the stage, and they were kind of showing some LOL play, and it was really cool. Then on the second day, we had the female player program. So the female players of the female player program, they were kind of introduced. They got to play some games on the stage, and we had show matches all day through, kind of. Then we had because there were semifinals of Worlds, we had a viewing party that was really cool. And on the third day, the members of the female player program also had some plays on the stage, like on the big stage. And I think for most of them, it was first time on stage. So it was really cool to see these young girls on stage for the first time and kind of enjoy themselves. And then there was the second match of the semifinals. So we had a viewing party again. But that was kind of just the esports aspect, because there were three stages and all of this was taking part on the big stage. But on the second stage, we had kind of inspirational talks. We talked, there were very different, but many women talking about their experiences, but not only in esports, but also in sports. And it was really cool to kind of get to know the difference and talk about how is the situation in the sports world and how is the situation in the esports world. So it was really cool to have all these different talks. And on the third stage, there were kind of coaching sessions, and it was really cool. Then we had some workshops for parents, so parents who were interested in esports and wanted to get to know things better. And it was a pretty big festival, but very, very cool.
That sounds amazing. Like, there was so much going on. I would hate to be organizing that. It sounds like a lot of work. I mean, Jana, where does this come from? Why is there a need for the advancement of women and young women in esports from your perspective?
From my perspective, as coming out of esports as a woman, it's like I started with esports when I played online, and I saw like I wasn't that bad in my game, and people talk to me and say, hey, do you want to play in a team with us, and do you want to play competitively? And that's where I started.
Which game?
Rainbow Six Vegas. Ooh. 1 and 2, not Siege. It's like 15 years ago. I played in mixed teams, and it was completely normal for me because I come from a household with three sisters, and my two older sisters always played video games. So it was like a very feminine household that was very passionate about video games. But when I came into esports, the first years was like I was playing in mixed teams and my gender wasn't even mentioned at some point. But then I changed to Call of Duty, which was much more a bigger title. And the community was also, huge compared to Rainbow Six these days. And and then I learned it was normal that women play in female teams. The more I was successful in the game, the more it was like, in which female team do you play? And I didn't even criticize that. I just learned it from the community. And then I started playing in female teams. And that was like, okay, now I think, why separating? With 15, 16 years old, it wasn't questioned by me.
I agree. I think there's a strong case for the over 40s like myself being separated from the 15-year-olds because there is a physiological and advantage and reaction speed. But absolutely, and we need more science on this. But I think it's one of those things. It's like, okay, if you play a sport that requires power and body mass, yes, men have an advantage. You know, and bigger guys are better than me at basketball and rugby, and even smaller guys as well, let's be honest. I mean, Lisa, what are your experiences in this that got you engaged with this project, like similar to Jana's? You know, you're a bit younger, so maybe you've had a better time?
So my entrance into esports was kind of different. I never played professionally. I'm way too bad at every game I play. I enjoy all the games, but I'm I'm terrible. So,
oh well, join the club. Join the club. We're part of the community. Don't worry, Lisa. There's nothing wrong with that. I bet you're better than me.
No. But yeah, so I joined the esports community, kind of my work at the Chair for Human Resource Management and Organization, through the scientific part of esports, and I kind of researched esports during my work there. And then I co-founded the Siegen Bisons, so our university's esports team. And
oh, the Siegen Bisons.
Yes. And the situation is still, for me, not really better, because I mean, I never played competitively, but I'm afraid to kind of join a lobby without knowing anyone, because in my nickname, it's visible that I'm a girl or I'm a woman. So as soon as I join a lobby, I know that there will be a comment, and it's just,
yeah.
I can't even explain. So it's really, really hurting, kind of, if you know that instantly, if you join a game, you will be kind of beaten.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I couldn't imagine it, but like having started playing CS:GO myself in the last couple of years, me and big white privileged male, you know, I could have people talk to me, and I was like, crumbling a bit at the start. And now, like, I mute them and stuff, but I had to get over that thing, and it's not a permanent thing. And I really have heard a lot about this, and I agree it's an issue. What's the female council, and how does that fit into the Equal Esports Initiative?
In the female council, we have several very engaged women out of the esports scene, and also not only out of the esports scene, but mostly. And all the girls and women that are in there have huge experiences in the esports scene as a woman in the esports scene, but also simply as an expert in some kind. And so the council is there to be a support for the organization team of the Equal Esports Initiative. So we know how it goes for women in esports, and we can say where there are some where there's potential to support women, to get more women into esports, make them feel the passion about esports, because there is also still an entry area already for girls. Like, yeah, girls are not playing video games. That's stupid. That's not like what girls
that's
do.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That's the first entry barrier. And to get into this these areas and to show the girls that they are welcome in the scene like any other gender and any other person, and that it's not always the focus on the gender, but the focus on their interest and passion about esports. And that's what we live. We are the women out of the council, and that's what we try to put into this female program that the Equal Esports Initiative builds up.
Lisa, I mean, what's your personal goal with this, Lisa, with this female council? What do you want from being part of this?
I want to be, I would say I want more visibility for the topic, because I had some very interesting talks, I would say, on the weekend. So I know that there's still a long way to go, and all the problems we talked about, like the whole inequality, these are problems that will not be solved just because we had a festival on the weekend. So the 3 days will not magically make everything go away, and it will not be fixed right now. But I just want, through this initiative, get more visibility for the topic, and maybe even if after the weekend just one girl in Germany is like, okay, I like to play video games, I've never kind of was brave enough to try it, but now I want to, because I have seen what is possible and what we can achieve, then that's kind of the whole motivation to kind of make it easier for younger girls and maybe to have some interesting talks about it and to kind of work hand in hand with everyone in the industry, not only the women, but also the men, because these are problems we cannot solve on our own that will not be solved easily. But if we all work together and talk about it and, you know, have discussions on this, on these topics, I think we can really achieve something. So kind of just, but also not only making it more visible, but also using my own voice. Because with all these problems and all the intimidation I got being a girl in esports, I kind of felt sometimes like there was nothing I could do about it. And that's a really bad feeling when you're like, okay, I don't like it, what is going on, and I really hate it, and I love the esports community, but I don't love this part of it, like all the sexism and stuff going on. But I always felt like I'm only one person, what am I to do about it? And this initiative really gives me the opportunity to do something about it and to use my voice to maybe make things better in the future.
Yeah, and what about yourself? What's your sort of take on this? It might be a little bit different in Lisa's approach.
Yeah, it's mostly it's like what Lisa said, because it really is the worst feeling when you think, yeah, I'm a woman in the esports scene or industry, I'm always only seen as a woman in this scene and esports industry. It's like you're just reduced to your gender. And it's pretty difficult to explain it, because it's like there's sometimes there's coming the argument like, yeah, there is so much toxicity in the scene and that's normal. That's everyone is used to it. But when you always fix on the gender, that's a problem. And that's why I want to also show that I'm not only a woman in the esports scene, but I can do inspirational things. I can be an expert and I can achieve the things I want, even though I'm a woman in the esports industry. And so it's also like being a role model and showing the ways you can go, showing how you can come into the scene, come into the industry, even though there are some entry barriers and even though you can have hard times, that there are other women that feel like you and that there are other women that you can contact and that want to support you when you like feel this kind of situation. You cannot do anything about it because you cannot change your gender just to be achieve other goals or something.
Well, you know, in esports and team sports especially, the microphone is key to communication, and I think it's sad that girls stay off the mic or use a voice modulator to change their voice. Mm-hmm. I mean I'm thinking of doing on CSGO the other way, to actually play with a female voice using a voice modulator and record it just to see what I experience. Because if I get crap, I'm sure I'll throw an awful lot of shade back from being a bit more confident. I mean, so it's, what about diversity in general? I mean, sometimes I find myself in this podcast with two guys and it doesn't feel good. Myself and Tobias talked to Mitch and we talked about the issues of diversity and, you know, and I was realizing, got just three white guys with beards here talking about, you know, gender equality and diversity in esports. We're not sending out the right message here. I mean, what about diversity in general? I mean, it does... We're in Northern Europe. A lot of members, a lot of our guests are operating in Northern Europe. So I guess there's a lack of other types of minorities in esports as well. So tell me about, you know, other lack of diversity in the scene.
I think, Lisa, you have been on the festival, because on the festival there was also a focus on diversity in general, not only gender diversity. You saw it. you saw it also, like Lisa already mentioned it, that there wasn't only esports topics, there was like life coaching topics that are totally important for your whole life and not only for your activities in esports. Or there were also role models from sports to get another topic into this discussion, because you have the discussion also in sports, and why not learn from it or share the experiences. So it's still the topic, and also the Equal Esports Initiative, the female player program is not only for female like born people, but also for people that feel female. And I think that's also a pretty strong move to do it like that way, because we also have the gender discussion or the transgender discussion in esports, and that was also very sexistic, I think. So it's, yeah, pretty diversity in all kinds, not only the people but also the topics we talk about, not all the representations. When you see the sponsors in esports, always energy drinks, always like companies out of the digital industries or something. We can do more. We can think about sustainability and how to place sustainability in esports, although it's a digital discipline. And these are new things you can think of, but are very underrepresented, in my opinion.
So, I mean, you've got these huge backers, really. I mean, amazing companies behind you. So, I mean, you're happy with the way the first festival went. I mean, what are the sort of future plans? What's the next stage? What's percolating in your brain after all these conversations? It's a great word, isn't it? Percolating like coffee. what do you think will come out of it? What are sort of the early ideas for something to do to deal with this that have come from this festival?
Lisa, do you want to say?
I think I don't know if there are any next, like, what is the next step, because we are like not involved in the planning process of the next steps, but I would love to kind of keep the motivation and the energy that was, you know, feel that you felt on the festival, that we could keep that alive and just not let it be like for 3 days. And we had a nice time on these 3 days, but then everything is kind of forgotten after the 3 days. So I would kind of just love to see the feeling and the motivation that this will keep going.
Are there communities happening online, like Discord servers or tournaments, or, you know, is there plans to get this momentum and keep rolling with it, or is it just planned for next year?
So the one part, the SK Gaming, SK Gaming, yeah. they have the Project Avarosa, that is a female team, and I think they are keeping practicing and stuff. And the what the Esports Player Foundation was doing, they had the first female player program talent camp, I think.
Yeah,
the talent camp on the weekend. So I don't know the exact numbers, but they were a certain number of female players around, and they kind of got tested. They played and stuff, and I think
so. That's a tangible thing to actually try to promote young female talent. So
yeah,
I mean, is that part of it, is to get the talent up there and get them visible in the professional scene? To make these good players, not past their peak like Yana, and not a professional like Lisa. You know, sorry, Yana.
from the female player program, there will be around 10 female players, I think, will be chosen and will then be funded by the Esports Player Foundation. They will get their very...
coached, right?
They will get coached. But it's not just only in esports, but they were there will be very many parts they will be coached in, like psychological, then on health and stuff. So they kind of developed this huge program, and a number of the women that were on the festival and that were on the female player program will now be funded for like a longer period of time, not just like the weekend, but for a really long time, so that they can evolve and can get better. Because the kind of goal is to not only have female teams, but to have mixed teams. And that was made clear like right on the weekend. The goal is not to have female teams, because I personally think female teams just separate females, and that is not the solution. Like, doing female-only leagues and stuff can help to, you know, enable young girls to get there, but it should not be like the solution. We need mixed teams, and that is kind of the end goal we want to reach with the initiative.
I mean, yeah, if you look at, Yana, go ahead.
It's always a focus on long term, and it's always a focus on talent programs. Not only about playing, so they can get better in their game, but as Lisa said, like media trainings, and also like looking how you can stay in the esports industry and not only play for like 5-10 years and then you're like mid 30 and then you don't have any opportunity to get into esports anymore in the industry. They are always looking after you and after your life goals, and not only your goals in esports, and that's pretty important. And also the long-term thing, so that also Lisa mentioned it, yeah, we have like a female talent program like for 1 month, and after this then we let the girls alone. That's not like that. It's the Esports Player Foundation is always looking on long-term and engaging and promoting the girls on long-term. That's the great thing about it.
I mean, tomorrow after I finish recording this, I'm off to Stockholm for the CSGO Major. And, you know, I find it very sad that, well, I'll be looking at what, 8 teams play, you know, 8 teams has 40 guys and not a single girl. And, you know, even if we... I mean, just scientifically speaking, I mean, there's no reason for that. It's not like they're all going, you know, traditional sports, maybe you have limited shower spaces, right? And, you know, changing rooms, but esports doesn't require that. And there's no huge size advantages. I mean, it's sad. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day where there are mixed teams up on this stage with 20,000 people packed into an arena, you know, and that's why I like what you guys are doing. But I find it very interesting what you're saying about the skills beyond esports, because I think, you know, we see a lot of initiatives because of these social and cultural biases against women. And, you know, I did a podcast with Miss Harvey and it came up again. I mean, the world is stacked against women in so many ways. And, you know, esports should certainly not be one of them, considering everything put together. So how do you think this can kind of help inspire young women beyond just esports and with other areas of their lives or futures?
Yeah, well, when they see it's like a community, it's like a scene where men dominate, like in the number, not in their behavior, but in the number. And they see that other women can get through this and can be successful and can find the place and also experience support. I experience support in like from the people that I work with a thousand times. But in online gaming, like Lisa said, you experience some other things. And I think that's an experience women make or an inspiration they get. They can transfer to every section in their life, because it's like you see you can get through it. You see you can do it as a woman, and then you think and you believe that you can do it in every other section of your life. And I think that's a pretty good message.
I mean, confidence, right? I mean,
that's, yeah, it's to confidence, me, it's confidence. Confidence. Yeah.
I mean, when you're good at one thing, and that's why I like esports and video games, because I think that in the traditional world, we have the, you know, the jocks, the sports stars, you know, and obviously off American TV and movie tropes. But it does exist to a certain extent that if, and no matter what country you're in, the people who represent the school in the high school sports kind of get, you know, a bit of, you know, they get a bit of mini stardom in their classes, mm-hmm. and special treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite often something that can carry them through their life. And I really like that, you know, that actually idea of giving something that's so accessible to everyone. I mean, everyone can, mm-hmm. play League of Legends at home or Valorant or stuff like that. I mean, just come to that. What do you think of the recent Valorant initiative with the women's only leagues and the fact that Valorant has apparently a 30 to 40% female player base? Is that something that you find very positive after, especially, Jana, especially after your Rainbow Six days?
Of course, it's positive. I think it's pretty late. I always, yeah. tell that, like, you have so many big companies, so like the publishers and the tournament organizers in the industry that should have done already pretty more to support women in esports. And within the last 10, 15, 20 years of esports, it was always like the solution, yeah, well, we do something, we do female tournaments, and that's our solution for it. And that's, yeah. why I always point on like the long-term thing, because it's not like a marketing move to support women in esports. It's like, it's a society topic. It cannot be done in 1 year or in 6 months, and then your marketing program runs out of money, and then you don't do anything about it anymore. And I think, it's a great... it's a great movement that is happening there, but it's pretty late. I think they should have done many more before.
Well, I think everyone's been sort of spent the last 6 or 7 years going, whoops, esports taken off, trying to negotiate. It's been pretty complex. And then we had the pandemic hit over the last 2 years. I mean, that put a bit of a kibosh on things. And I agree with you, though. It's like, what do they say, lipstick on a pig. You know, we got female only tournaments, and you know, that'll do you, that'll keep you happy. And it's no,
yeah.
it's wrong. And you know, this is why I increasingly think I love having this topic come up. And you know, I think we're going to finish here now with a question, and I kind of know the answers, but I'd like, so the last question of any podcast is future research, right? But we know what the future research you're going to ask for, so I'm going to ask you a different question, just for a more focused version. And Lisa, you're obviously a published author now. Congratulations with your article in the International Journal of Esports. Not bad for someone who hasn't, started her PhD yet. You're ahead of a lot of PhD candidates and actually some graduates at this stage. But we'll start with Lisa, because she's thought about this a bit more and written it. And Jana, you think of your answer while Lisa impresses us. Lisa.
Yeah, she's I'm scared.
I'm going to ask you. Give me a specific research question or paper that you would like to see answered. Now, Jana, you think yours while she's making stuff up. Well, what would you like? What's a specific research topic? Not just diversity or gender inclusion. Give me a game, a country, a region, something more specific. Because we know we need more research on diversity and inclusion and equality. What for you would strike you as something that would be really a good idea or you'd like to research?
Good question.
Let me
can't
think.
Google the answers. I mean, okay, I'll start, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to DreamHack in a month, and female legends have a separate LAN lane where they have younger girls come together. So I think a specific research question I'd say would be, how much of an impact or how does this help young girls get into esports more by feeling secure in a large open LAN? So if you think of a question like that,
okay.
based on Rainbow Six ideas, I mean, uber masculine shoot 'em up if it seems like the most masculine one to me when I watch it.
I think what could be a question is like, so by the way, what you said, Brian, was my bachelor and master thesis topic. In my master's topic, yeah, I was comparing female and male ways to play Counter-Strike. And I was like searching for differences and also searching for what they are doing the same. And, that was a great question. And I think I would also like to do some more research in it, because something like women are too shy, women are like playing slow, they are like maybe spawn camping or something. But when you really go to it, into it, so my foundings were like women are playing more tactically and not like pushing so much. They are more going to the tactical goals of a mode, of a game mode. But I only had like 30 gameplays.
That's fascinating.
Observed.
How does gender influence play styles? That's actually brilliant.
So you can do this with like with like 3,000 plays or something, games, matches, and then you can say if it's true or not. Maybe that could be a scientific.
I'd love
question.
To see it by country as well. Are the Germans more efficient? We joked about this at the start, you know. You guys did, I didn't, by the way. But you said German efficiency. I mean, are Germans more efficient in how they play? Do the Irish play more like they're just there for the crack? I think that's a fascinating one. How does gender influence playing styles and approach to esport teams and stuff? That's gold. Lisa, what you got? You got the one to beat there.
Yeah, I had a minute to think. So coming from the chair for human resource management and organization, I would love to look into kind of mixed teams in the work environment and in the esports environment to kind of look at them in both contexts, because in both worlds there is no equality right now. If you look at the work environment, it may be better, but women are still not fully equal there. So it could be interesting to look like at the organizational signs and see, okay, in the work environment, men and women are already working together. And sometimes, not sometimes, but the science says that mixed teams are actually better than only female or only man teams. So it would be interesting to kind of look through that perspective at esports and to look how mixed teams could be better than only male or only female teams, because I think the difference between men and women is not mostly but the communication style, I think, can be a difference. So it would be really cool to see how teams can improve when they have like a women in them.
Oh, then like even if they're going to kids, because, you know, for some reason, and I'm not going to say the science because who knows what the science is, but girls tend to learn to communicate faster, but that could be social conditioning where the boys are throwing a go climb the tree 2-year-old and the girls are like, you talk to me. So I have no idea on that, but you know, that you could extend that to children. I think that's a really useful one as a sort of future lab for digital work. And, you know, it's I'm in Sweden, the most equal country in the world, and all my bosses are women and they're fantastic. And, you know, my PhD supervisor is a woman, and I'll be honest, I much prefer working for women because my experience of male bosses, they've been not so good in comparison. I actually would always choose, and if I had a choice, and it sounds terrible, but I'd always choose a female boss, because then you never get that alpha male crap and I just do what I'm told and it's great. I think that's pretty. I think that you've actually, we knew diversity, we knew gender issues, and I think the questions you posed here as research questions are actually something I would love to do. And I don't know if we should actually publish this podcast until you're halfway through those research projects. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for anyone watching. The Equal Esports Initiative and all the links and contact details for both Jana and Lisa are below the podcast. So thank you very much and congratulations on this initiative.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.